The grace of the Lord be with you. Welcome to worship today. We're glad to see every one of you. We invite you to sign the Friendship Register booklet you should find on the inside aisle of your pew and pass it down. We're glad to have you on this first Sunday of Advent as we begin a new year in the church and as we begin to prepare ourselves for the celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. So we're glad to have you today. Take note of the announcements in your bulletin. The insert is about our poinsettia tree, which will be going up this Friday. So today is the last day, and the last count I had, we had around 40 or so, and we need about 90. So if you haven't done this, please make sure you take care of that today. Look at the other announcements in your bulletin. Notice that next Sunday is the last Sunday for you to bring an item for Piedmont Rescue Mission or for the adults with special needs, the Making the Christmas Wish Come True. So make sure you take care of that this week and bring it next Sunday, because next Sunday is the deadline. Notice that this afternoon we will begin decorating the church. Thankfully, the luminarias are already out since it's raining today, but there will be some decorating going on inside the church. There was a sign-up sheet, but if you didn't sign up, please come if you can, 2 o'clock this afternoon, and then there will be times Monday and Tuesday as well. So we'd love to see you come and help with the decoration of the church. Notice on the back of your bulletin all the other special events coming up for Advent and Christmas, and make sure you mark your calendars for all of those. Look with me now at our prayer concern list. I'm going to give you some updates. Be in prayer for Mildred Price's family in the passing of her sister-in-law, Bonnie. The funeral was yesterday, so be in prayer for that whole family. Continue to pray for Eleanor Cook. She's at Peak Resources doing rehab. And ask you also to be in prayer for Hazel Guthrie. She's undergoing some tests right now, so be in prayer for her. As well as Janice Stutz, Lee Holt's mother, who was just diagnosed with lung cancer. So be in prayer for Janice during this time. And also for Chip Latzik, that's Lois Priest's brother. He developed a severe infection in his hand. They did surgery this past week, but then there will be another surgery upcoming in a couple of weeks. So be in prayer for him and for his recovery. Then let me add to the list. Want to mention that we have in the bulletin that Bob Bird was going to play the flute, but he is sick today. So be in prayer for Bob. He's not able to be with us. Also ask your prayers for Steve Harris. That's John and Nancy Harris's son. He'll be having surgery on Tuesday. So be in prayer for him, especially on Tuesday. Ask your prayers for Mark, Aaron Day's brother. He is not doing well at all. So be in prayer for Mark and for Aaron and the whole family during this time. Also ask your prayers for Becky Johnston. She had to go to the hospital with some breathing issues, but is supposed to come home today. And she had told me anyway, she actually said, well, don't even mention my name, but we do want to pray for her. But I did get her permission, I always do. But she said that, you know, she really doesn't need any visitors right now. She doesn't feel like, you know, talking. And but be in prayer for her as she goes home today. Also, ask your prayers for Keith Dodson's mother in California. She had surgery this past week, and Keith and Karen are there with her right now. The surgery went well, but be in prayer for her full recovery. And then also for Ron Florence's brother, Patrick. He has been diagnosed with throat cancer and will be starting radiation treatment soon, so let's be in prayer for him. Are there any other prayer concerns or praises that you would like to mention today? Then I'm going to invite Suzanne Catalano to come. We've been hearing from our building committee and Don't worry, this is not going to happen every Sunday from now on until the building is built. But this Sunday and next Sunday will be the last ones. But Suzanne's going to come and share some thoughts with us from her perspective about the possibility of a new building. Thank you, Suzanne.
Morning. And when Steve emailed our committee and asked if we would be willing to speak, he said to keep it brief. So don't worry, Steve. The font is just really big so that I can see what I want to say. Some of you may know how my family ended up at Grand Presbyterian Church, and some of you may not. I was not born sitting on the pews of Grand Presbyterian Church, and I'm not even a square miler, as Chap mentioned last week, but I did grow up about an hour from here, and according to my parents, I was strapped into a chair with a cloth diaper in Mrs. Louise's preschool Sunday school class. But I won't go that far back and give you the whole story, but around 2009 or 2010, Tim and I were looking for a new church, and a friend of mine, actually a co-worker at the time, his daughter was in the preschool here, and he mentioned something about her singing in something called Play School Sunday at a church, and we thought, well, why not? We'll go, and we'll support her in her program. So we came, and we came back, and we kept coming back, and the coworker has since moved on, and we kept coming back. So this is where we found our home. I will confess to you, I'm going to move this back a little bit, that I originally wanted to be a part of this committee for selfish reasons. You see, we have a fabulous group of children and young people in this church, and I know you already know that because of the many ways that you support them, encourage them, and love them, but I wanted an additional space where they could play and learn and be safe and stay grounded in their faith. But as the vision of this building began to take shape, I see it as much more than that. Community, life, center. I want you to think for a moment about what community means to you. Rick Warren has said, "We are created for community, fashioned for fellowship, and formed for a family, and none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. You all have become my family's community, the place where we can fellowship and worship and strive to fulfill God's purposes alongside of you, all because of one Play School Sunday 8 years ago. Life. In John 10:10, Jesus tells the Pharisees, "I have come that they may have life and have it to the full." This communion table before us serves as a reminder of the perfect life of Christ, sacrificed so that all of us may have abundant life, life to the full, overflowing. Community, life, center. Alamance County seems to be growing by leaps and bounds. Will Graham Presbyterian grow with it? I can envision this new center as a way to branch out and find new opportunities to be the place of community, offering the assurance of abundant life to a world that so desperately needs it. With God's leading, the possibilities for this new building are endless. If you read Steve's article in the October-November newsletter, you saw his reference to Nehemiah 2:8. Let us rise up and build. And while preparing for today, I decided to look up this verse on my Bible app. I discovered that Steve didn't tell us the whole verse. I don't know why, but I'd like to think it was because God saved it for me to share with you today. The Amplified Bible translation says, "So they thoroughly supported the good work." So I would ask you, first of all, to support the good work with your prayers. Pray for God to lead and guide and direct it. And secondly, I would ask you to pray about how you can individually support the good work. It will take all of our individual contributions, small and large, to collectively bring this about. And they said, "Let us rise up and build." So they thoroughly supported the good work. Thank you.
Thank you, Suzanne. Thank you for completing my words. I appreciate that. And if you'll look in your bulletin, the announcement about the plans for the new Community Life Center, our session met and looked at our finances and has decided to devote already $440,158.53 to this project, which is a great start. So we're not starting from zero, but we do have a long way to go, and so we encourage your gifts. Suzanne, I think about you and your family and your story, and think about multiplying that. How many other people in Alamance County or beyond in our area are looking for a home, looking for a church, looking for a place of community, maybe without even knowing it? And Suzanne, her family came on one Sunday and then built from that. Who knows? That's what's so exciting about every Sunday when we meet. I hope that if you're a member, a regular attender, you don't just sit where you normally sit and talk to who you normally talk to, but look around you. There are usually visitors here every Sunday, and the next Suzanne or whoever, man, woman, boy, child, whoever, might be coming and might be here this Sunday. And that's the exciting thing about that. Suzanne, serving on the session, who there's a future elder maybe who's a visitor today. You never know. So that's what's exciting about worship. I hope you come to church sometimes with that sense of excitement as well. Let me invite you now to locate the call to worship in your bulletin. And as you're able, stand together and we'll join our voices together. A voice cries, "In the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God." Let us prepare to welcome God's dramatic work in our midst, in our hearts, in our community, and in all of creation. Come, let us worship God. Let us pray. O Lord, on this first Sunday of Advent, we thank you for the great work that you have done in your world in the past, fulfilling your promises ultimately in Jesus Christ, your Son. But Lord, we also thank you for the work yet to come, the work that you are currently doing, and the work yet to come. Sometimes it gets lost in all of the violence and greed and suffering in our world, but we thank you that you are still here and you are still working out your purposes. We pray that you'd work them out in and through us as we worship you this day through Jesus Christ our Savior. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Let us confess our sinfulness before the Lord using the prayer of confession you'll find in your bulletin. Let us pray. Merciful God, always with us, always coming, we confess that we do not know how to prepare for your advent. We have forgotten how to hope in miracles. We get distracted by all the busyness of this season. Forgive us, O God. Grant us the patient faith of Mary and Joseph, that we may journey with them to Bethlehem and find the good news of a child born for us. Now, in the quiet of our hearts, we ask that you make us ready for his coming. Amen. Just a moment, we're going to light the Advent candle with the children, the prophet's candle of hope. There were many prophets who came before the time of Jesus, but one of them was Jeremiah, who talked about God's new covenant with his people, the covenant that has now been fulfilled in Christ. And as part of that covenant agreement, the Lord said this, listen, I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins against them no more. Aren't those wonderful words? Our sins are many. They continue to be many. But God has promised in Christ to remember them against us no more. Praise be to God. Amen. And invite all the children to come forward now for the lighting of the Advent wreath. As they're coming, why don't you greet those nearby you? All right. It's a very special time of year, isn't it? We have this Advent wreath. How many candles do we have? Five. There are four Sundays of Advent, though. The fifth one is the Christ candle that we light on Christmas Eve. So if you think about kind of the outside circle, kind of think about it like a clock, we're going to count down the Sundays till we get to Christmas Eve. And this is the very first one, the first Sunday of Advent. Advent. That's not a word I hear all the time. Wonder what that word means, Advent. It means coming. It means that we are celebrating that Jesus Christ came as a baby a long time ago and that he is coming again. There are two comings of Jesus. His first one is a baby in the manger, and then the second one when he comes back for us. And there were a lot of people who said he was coming before he came. You know who they were called? They were called the prophets. They said Jesus was coming even before he came, and he did. So this candle that we're lighting today is the prophet's candle of hope. You see, the thing that I'm wearing is called a stole. It doesn't mean that I stole it. It's just what it's called, stole. Some people have already asked me about it. You see words written on my stole? Do you see the word hope anywhere? Yes. Yeah, right there. That's the word for today, hope. The prophet's candle of hope. So who wants to help me? All right, just everybody gather around. Maddie, come on around. Just put one hand on the stick. Everybody got their hand on it? All right. Now, wait a minute. Which candle are we going to light? It's this one over here. It's the first one, okay? The prophet's candle of hope. Now, we're going to sing a song. You see it in your bulletin. We're all going to sing together, not just the children, okay? You ready? Light of Jesus, light of Jesus, show the way, show the way. Shine in us forever, shine in us forever. This we pray, this we pray. You want to blow it out? One, two, three, blow. All right, it's all blown out. Okay, thanks so much for your help. Now, just for coming today, I have a special gift for you. Believe it or not, this is a bank. See, it's flat, but you make it into a bank. So, let's see. Who's going with you to children's church today? I knew it was a little boy. His name is Paul. Paul, I'll let you take the rest of them. And, yeah, Colby needs to get one. All right. Thanks so much for helping. Now you can head out to children's church. Look with me now at our scripture for today, found in Luke's Gospel, chapter 1, beginning with verse 26 on page 944 in your pew Bible. Let's bow before the Lord in prayer as we prepare to read God's Word. O Lord, we ask now that indeed you would shine into our hearts the light of your Word, that we might hear it and experience it and feel its power in our own life, we pray through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Look with me then at Luke chapter 1, beginning with verse 26. Listen carefully, for this is God's word to us. In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come on you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who is said to be unable to conceive is in her sixth month, for no word from God will ever fail." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me according to your word." Then the angel left her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. See if you can sing with me, follow along. What the world needs now.
Oh, sweet love.
You know the next line?
That's the only thing. There's just too little love.
Okay, that's enough. But you sounded great. We'll have to do some more impromptu singing. I think I heard some voices out here that could be up here. Yeah. Well, I've told you this year some stories behind some hymns and songs. So let me tell you the story behind that song that you just sang from memory. Better yet, let me let the songwriter Hal David tell you his story. Here's how it went. He says, I was living in Roslyn, New York, on the north shore of Long Island, which is where my children were raised. I would drive into Manhattan every day to meet Burt Bacharach at the Brill Building in the famous music offices on the sixth floor where we did our writing. Mine was a rock and roll house where each of my kids had a band that practiced there, so it was hard for me to find a quiet place to work. So I would drive into town slowly, which would give me the opportunity to think and to get ideas for my songs. I would write in my head during the ride into Manhattan. One day, I thought of these first two lines to a song. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. It's the only thing that there's just too little of. Stop. That's all I could think of. Before I got to Manhattan, I had that in my head the way it is today. But then I needed the verse section. When I began to write the first verse, everything I thought of just seemed off. We don't need a plane to fly faster. No, no, no. We don't need a submarine to go deeper. No, that doesn't. I tried and tried. I showed it to Bert and then put it away and went on to something else. I kept trying again. It was always the same thing. I struggled for 2 years over those lyrics. I needed something to compare it to, and everything I thought about had nothing to do with the person that I was actually talking to, and that was God. It took more time to write these lyrics than any other song I ever wrote. I realized I needed to write the antithesis, what we didn't need. Well, one day on the ride to New York, it came to me. Lord, we don't need another mountain. There are mountains and hillsides enough to climb. There are oceans and rivers enough to cross, enough to last till the end of time. I knew that was it. I wrote about all of the things that had to do with nature and what God gives us. I gave the lyrics to Bert, and he wrote a fabulous melody. So we showed our song to Dionne Warwick, who had recorded many of our songs. And wouldn't you know it, it was the only one of our songs that she ever turned down. We put it aside, and then we received a call from Liberty Records to meet with Jackie DeShannon. We played this song for her, and she wanted to do it. Bert did a great arrangement, and we recorded it, and it is a great song. Now, during Advent, I'm going to get to love. Hang on, I'll get there. But for today, we're going to talk about hope. Throughout Advent, we're going to look at four things that this world really needs today. And it's not just because I'm connecting it to that song. It really is true. What this world, I mean, you don't have to look very far around you or on the news or talk to your friends, and you find out this world is a world in need. And one of the things we need is hope. I believe it's the first thing that we need. Now, if you use the word hope today, how might you use it? I hope I can lose some of the weight that I put on over Thanksgiving. I hope I can find a more fulfilling job. I hope I can pass my exams in school this semester. I hope I can find someone who will want to date me. I hope this sermon won't last too long. I knew I'd get around to some of you at least. We all use the word hope in so many different ways. Just recently, somebody asked me about the word hope and said, well, you know, I hope for things, but what if they don't come true? Isn't that a good question? And what I said to her and what I'll say to you today is that the word hope in the New Testament is used differently than the way we generally use it. We are generally saying, I don't know if it's going to happen, but I sure hope it does. That's not the way it's used in the New Testament. The New Testament writers use the word hope as if I already know, and now I hope. You see the difference? If I don't know for sure, but I sure hope so, that's the way we use it. New Testament uses it like this. I already know. How do you already know? I already know because of what God has done, what God has promised, and how God has already fulfilled those promises in sending his son Jesus Christ, and what Jesus Christ has done for us, and how Jesus Christ died on the cross for us and then rose from the dead and is now ascended into heaven and seated at God's right hand. Because all of that has already happened and I know it, therefore I hope. You see the difference? I'm saying I'm hope because it hasn't happened yet, the things I'm hoping for. They're still in the future. But I know for sure because of the past, they're going to happen. And so a hope in the New Testament is a word of confidence. Not just wishful thinking, but confidence. Now, where does that kind of hope come from? It can only come from what we know, what God has already done. It can only come from the power of God at work already in our lives. Now, if you'll look at our story in Luke chapter 1, if you'll look in your bulletin, I want you to see that there are signs of God's power all through this story. And because of God's mighty power at work in this story, therefore we can have hope. What are the signs of God's power in this story? Well, the first one is in verse 26, where it talks about Elizabeth, who is too old to have a child, who didn't have a child, and everybody in town knew she was not going to have a child. She hadn't had one, and she's too old to have one now. But guess what? She's already 6 months pregnant. How could that be? It's only by the power of God. This was a visible sign to Mary and to everyone who knew Elizabeth of God's great power. Then the second sign of God's power, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth. Now, I don't know if you have ever had an angel appear to you. I've talked to people who they feel like that they have had that experience. I've never had that experience. I don't know what I'd do if an angel did appear to me. If I really thought and knew for sure that that was an angel and an angel appeared to me privately, I don't know. I think I would be scared. Scared by the angel's appearance. Scared of what the angel might have to say. You know, kind of like in the old days, you get a telegram and you just assume, well, if I'm getting a telegram, it must be bad news. You know, if I'm getting an angel appearance, it must be bad news. Well, God sent Gabriel to Nazareth. Now, Nazareth is not a significant town. We all know the name of it because of Jesus growing up there, but it was not a significant town. It was not that large. It was not that important. It was not even close to Jerusalem. It was up north in Galilee. But God sent an angel there. He had already sent Gabriel there 6 months ago to an older man named Zechariah. And not to Nazareth, but Zechariah was actually in Jerusalem. He was a priest. He was preparing to burn incense at the altar in the temple. And he appeared to Zechariah with good news, a message of hope. And now the angel goes to Nazareth and appears to Mary. The third sign of God's power in this story has to do with Mary. Mary is a virgin, but will conceive and give birth. You see how that doesn't make what we would call common sense? Well, if she's a virgin, she's not going to conceive. She even brings that point up herself to the angel. Luke goes out of his way to make the point that she, in fact, is a virgin. She was probably a young teenager, maybe middle teenage years. In those days, life expectancy was much shorter, and so they couldn't afford to wait too long, you know, to get married. So they got married at a much younger age. And in those days, marriage was a two-stage process. There was an engagement followed by marriage. You say, well, don't we do the same thing today? Well, it's a little different. In that day, the pledge to engagement, or sometimes you see that they were betrothed or betrothal, that's the same thing as engagement. That pledge to engagement was taken so seriously and was a legal thing that to break it, you had to get a divorce. In other words, it was a two-step process, engagement and marriage. Today, you can break an engagement, but you don't have to get a divorce. That only comes after the marriage. And that day, if you were engaged and you broke up, it meant a divorce. And in fact, the way it worked in that day, the father of the groom would pay a purchase price to the bride's father. There'd be this written agreement, this written contract. And so it was all taken very seriously. And now, Mary and Joseph were pledged to each other. Mary gets this news that even before you get married, you are going to conceive a son. How could this be? She said, I'm a virgin. The answer is, it's through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's through God's power. God is going to do something in you that we can't even understand. And it's going to be an amazing thing. And then you and everyone will know this is only by the power of God. Now, the fourth sign of God's power has to do with the names and titles for this son who's going to be born from Mary. These names for this son are all signs of God's power. Signs of God's power. Notice what the names are. Jesus. Now that's the Greek form of Joshua. It means the Lord saves. God is going to do something, a work of salvation through him. And so we're going to name him Jesus. Son of the Most High. The Most High is a special name for God, Almighty God. And he's going to be in a special, unique relationship with God. So he's going to be called Son of the Most High. He will have the throne of his father David. There were ancient promises made about King David back in 2 Samuel. He's going to be the one who is going to fulfill those promises. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. Unlike other kings whose reigns were very temporary and ended in great disappointment, this is one who is going to reign over the house of Jacob forever. And then there's one more great sign of God's power in this story. Gabriel's astounding promise and Mary's simple response. An astounding promise and a simple response. Did you catch that as I read the story? The angel says, Gabriel says, you know, you're going to give birth to a son. How is it going to happen? She says, Mary says, well, the Holy Spirit will do this, and a sign of it is what's already happened in Elizabeth. Now, if you're married, you are not married yet. You do have a husband-to-be, but you're not married yet. And this angel says, oh, Mary, you're going to be pregnant. Now, you can hide a pregnancy for a while, but after a while, everybody's going to know, including Joseph. What's going to be the fallout of that? What are people going to think? What are people in the community going to think of Mary? What is Joseph going to think of Mary? You know what they're going to think. They're going to think that somewhere along the line with somebody, at some time, Mary has been untrue. Mary has broken promises. Mary is somebody who maybe even should be shunned in the community. But notice how Mary responds. This word from God comes to her that she does not completely understand. But in simple faith, she says, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me according to your word. An astounding promise, but a simple response of faith. Well, friends, around the world today, churches are beginning a brand new church year with the first Sunday of Advent. Many of those churches are lighting candles. And it starts with this candle of hope. Why does hope come first? Because Christians are not walking through this Advent season from a position of power, but from a position of weakness. We are people in need of hope. Without hope, there is no peace or joy or love. Hope is the expectation that things will be better. What is your foundation for hope today? Do you need hope in your life? Some of you came today needing something to hang on to. Something to give you hope. Something to give you hope that things will be better than they are right now, because things for you right now are not good. That hope you can find in Jesus Christ because of what God has done in him in the past and all the promises that he has made that have all come true. That's all done. It's in the past. You know it. Then you look to the future and you can say with hope, I don't know what the future holds, but I know that Jesus is with me. And I know that all those promises that God made have come true in Jesus. So the promises he's made to me, to be with me, to carry me through, to care for me, to provide for my needs, all those promises can be true too. What this world needs now is hope. And that hope is found in and through the one who came, not just as a baby in a manger, but to give his life to be the hope of this world. Let us prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table. As you were able, let's stand together and sing the hymn, Jesus, Thou Joy of Loving Hearts. Be seated. Let us pray. Oh Lord, help us to recognize today that indeed our souls are not filled. They're empty without you. They're empty of all that would satisfy us, that would make us whole, that would give us all the hope that we need. So we turn to you, Lord. We turn to our Savior Jesus, who gave his life for us, who provided the way that we might know you and love you and experience you in our life. We thank you for Jesus, who on that night before his death gathered with his disciples and broke bread and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body. Do this and remember me." The same way also after supper he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you drink of it." For as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again for us, until that second advent comes. So we gather around this table, Lord, thanking you for what you have done and looking to the future with hope through Jesus our Savior. Amen. Jesus indeed on that night gathered with his disciples and broke bread, offered it to all of them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body. Do this and remember me." We invite you as you are served the bread to hold it, and then we will partake of it all together at once, reminding us of our family connection as sisters and brothers in Christ. Then as you're served the cup, we invite you to partake of that individually, reminding us that indeed each of us, one person at a time, responds to God's call of faith in Jesus Christ. This is the Lord's table. It is a table of grace for sinners. Come and receive God's grace. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. Those who come to me will never hunger. Those who believe in me will not thirst. Jesus said, this is my body. Do this, remember me. The same way, also after supper, Jesus took the cup, saying, this cup is new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins. All of you, drink of it. Let us pray. Oh Lord, we thank you for our Savior Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, one who came to fulfill all the promises from long ago made through the prophets, the one who came to give us hope in the midst of our troubled life. We thank you, Lord, for this meal that we have shared together that reminds us that Jesus was not just someone who came to far away Nazareth long, long ago. He's right here with us. He's here now. He loves us. He cares for us. He watches over us. He strengthens us. Thank you for that strength that we receive even through this sacrament, the sign and seal of Jesus' presence with us this day. Even as we pray together the prayer that long ago Jesus taught his followers to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Let us now respond to God's power at work in our lives and the gifts that we present to God's glory. Oh, Lord, we give you all thanks and praise this day because we recognize that your great power at work is what has accomplished all of the things, all of the blessings in our lives, all of the fulfillments, the promises that you have made. So we give you our thanks, and we show that thanks in the gifts that we present now. Lord, take them and use them for your honor and glory. We pray in the name of Jesus, our Redeemer. Amen. You know, it is my prayer for you as you came today that you don't leave the same person that you came. That you heard God's word of hope spoken into your heart, spoken into your life, whatever your situation is right now, that you heard that word, that God's hope gives you hope, that God's power at work in your life is what can give you hope in the midst of whatever you are facing. That's my prayer for you today. So as you go, may the hope of Jesus Christ, our Savior, rest in your heart and give you strength and power for your life. And whatever it is, know that Jesus is greater. Amen.